hours in an open air stadium in sub-zero temperature. I saw those people right next to me. I believe that healthy romantic relationships involve passion, and that good salespersons are passionate to make their big sale. Some are passionate about their hobbies and leisure activities. Whether they might be playing golf or going hunting, I'm thinking of a double person in this combination. I'm not naming it. Someone else, anyway. Anyone who wants to find passionate young people can do so at a rock concert. Individuals will vote for passionate politicians, listen to passionate preachers, watch passionate actors, and follow passionate leaders. We all are attracted to the passionate. So what does it mean when we attach this word passionate in front of the term worship in this congregation in Christian community? I am not so sure that we mainline Christians are known for being passionate on Sunday mornings. We 21st century mainline Christians it has not always been this way. John Wesley, the founding father of the Methodism, for example, was a passionate preacher of the 1700s who led worship services characterized by passion. This does not mean that the people would jump on the pew and roll in the aisles. Though Wesley noted his journal that periodic snoozing took place during the service. Whatever snoozing means in here. Some people said that this is so spooky, snoozing the spirit in our Christian gathering. But that is the DNA of the Methodist Church, and the Methodist people like you and me who are in a Methodist Church do follow Jesus Christ as Methodist Christians. Rather, the passionate worship of Wesley's time was found on the belief that God was indeed doing something significant in their midst, and thus there was anticipation, a readiness to hear the word from the Lord. Through the music, through the preacher, through the reading of the scripture, not just as we're bounded and boxing ourselves into one particular portion of the worship, but they have anticipation to experience God, hear the word of God through the music, through the prayer, through the fellowship, through the preaching and message we are hearing during that time. To be prepared for the Spirit to move in unexpected ways. So they sang their hymns with great joy and prayed earnestly and hear the voice of God with open mind. Protestant movements were passionate worshipers, but something happened along the way. You and I can witness these things. The question before us in this morning is, how do we recover the passionate worship of our mothers and fathers of the faith? How can we recover and restore this passionate worship tradition in this particular church called our Redeemer's United Methodist Church, and in particular person like you and me, while we are offering ourselves as a holy temple to the Lord? In Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17, the Apostle Paul connected God's work on our behalf first to ethics and then to worship. What God has done for us in Jesus Christ should lead us to live a faithful and moral life before Christ, all of which lead us to worship. In gratitude for the work of God in our lives, we live lives pleasing to God. God's grace and our gracious respond and come together in a corporate worship. A necessary ingredient in passionate worship is genuine gratitude. How thankful are we for the blessing we receive? That measures the degree of the passionate worship we are having. Christian worship loses its passion when people gather, not in gratitude to God, but in anticipation of receiving even more from God. Worship is not about us. It is about God. Theoretically, we know about it. But in practice, do we know about the seriousness of the main one audience we have in worship? In worship, we read scripture to remind us that the main actor in the biblical drama is the Lord. The same is true of our worship. Without gratitude, we will not gather for worship to give glory to God. We will look to receive even more, just as the ungrateful child on Christmas morning, who after opening up the many presents, wonders why there are not more gifts under the tree. Probably many parents already bought so many things for your children to go back to school, bought the backpack, bought all the supplies, and the new clothes and all those things. What if your children said, buy me more and more and more? How do you feel about your heart of tendering your children? To be sure, we do receive in our worship, believe it or not, but that is the result of our giving to the Lord. We find that as we worship with a glad and generous heart, giving thanks to God's amazing grace, God who cannot help being generous towards God's children, will indeed give to us in worship the word of help we need. But what we receive is the icing on the cake. It is not the fiber of worship itself. God-centered worshipers do not go to church wondering what they will get for their time on Sunday morning. Instead, they enter the sanctuary anticipating the same kind of experience the prophet Isaiah, we just heard, had when he saw the Lord high and lifted up. Christian worship, whether it is a traditional or contemporary or the blend, whatever label you would like to put it in here, should be marked by joy and gratitude. When worship is not joyful, when it does not reflect our deep gratitude towards God, then it becomes primarily about us, me, what's in it for me. That defeats against the definition of a worship we are holding in Christian community. What marks worship boring is not the style of music or preaching or the flow of the service. Worship is boring when it is no longer about the God who makes all things new and transforms the life of others and mine. Christianity offers good news. Our worship should be as well. In Jesus Christ, God has entered into our sorrows and is taking us towards such a glorious destination that joy is the most important response we can give in worship. This does not mean that there is a somber aspect to worship. We cannot appreciate how good the good news is until we hear the bad news. But we must not forget that the bad news is not the end of the story. Good Friday leads to Easter Sunday. Our worship should reflect the good news that we have been delivered, and we should, in those God-given moments, express our deepest gratitude towards God. The second practice of a fruitful congregation, according to the Bishop Robert Ness, is passionate worship, the topic we are talking about in this morning. He said in his book, Bible Practice of a Fruitful Congregation, that vibrant, fruitful, and growing churches offer passionate worship that connects people to God and one another. Passionate worship connects the people to God and one another. It can be in any form or with any style of music, as long as it leads people to God and their neighbor. Passionate worship is one where the people in attendance are focused on God and not the preacher, not the musician, and not the troubles of the day. Passionate people with the right focus in worship bring the passionate worship experience. The passionate worshipers always look for words to worship God in gratitude with others. They are the ones who praise in others, who can name the blessings in our life, in the life of others. Those people have eyes to capture the blessing moments and God moments, we say it in here. People who worship passionately also want others to experience the worship they experienced it. And they see how God is leading them out from worship into greater mission and service. The passionate worshipers are well prepared, but not so focused on the structure of the service or labors of the service. Rather, the passionate worshipers prepare their hearts first in a spiritual manner with gratitude so that they grow in faith as they worship. I pray that we offer God our best with a glad and grateful heart. Each week, in this time together, I pray that we lift to God the worship God deserves. I pray that we sing, pray, preach, and meditate in reverence and passion, gratitude, and grace so that God may be high and lifted up in our midst. I pray that we bring the heart of worship each week to crown Him, our awesome God, with the glory, honor, and praise in everything what we have, which is a blessing. Such a grateful worship with the right focus and well-preparedness is indeed passion. We can have this passionate worship each week here at our Redeemers by becoming a passionate worshiper in gratitude with the right focus and well-preparedness. Let it be so we can be vital enough to transform the world on behalf of God.